You are welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that school bell, you know it's time to get your Bible. And we're going to be looking at Hosea's plea for righteousness. You'll want to turn your Bible to Hosea chapter 6. And we'll be looking verse by verse at Hosea 6, verses 1 through 6. Now, while you're turning there, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you Hosea chapter 6, and we'll be looking verse by verse, verses 1 through 6. For the first two verses, we read, "Come, let us return unto Jehovah, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will receive us. On the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him." Note the declaration of the second verse. "After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him." This means that in a short while indeed, Jehovah could save and revive Israel so that the people would live before him in his righteous blessings. You know, we know that Jesus was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. After 2 days, he revived him. On the third day, he raised him up. And so some thinks this might be some reference to the resurrection of Christ on that third day. And we know that the Old Testament scriptures did foretell the resurrection of Christ. It would just be a little time when he would be in the tomb and he would be raised up. So also it would be a little time that Israel would have their opportunity to be raised up and live before God. Let's look at the third verse. Hosea 6 and verse 3, it says, "And let us know, let us follow on to know Jehovah. His going forth is sure as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth." Let us know Jehovah. To know Jehovah is to receive his instruction, to walk in his ways, and to be faithful to him. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, "I know him," and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The only way to return to God, and therefore to salvation, is to learn and obey his will. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, we read that many people shall go and say, "Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And then we read in Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, almost the same words. "Many nations shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he'll teach us of his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And so Jesus declares, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every one that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me." John chapter 6 and verse 45. This duty is emphasized by saying, "Let us follow on to know Jehovah." This means to persevere in our study of God's will. and to continue to zealously keep His commandments and walk in His ways. God's going forth, His continued blessings, is as sure as the morning. His blessings will come as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth, when the earth more greatly needs rain. These are beautiful comparisons. We have a similar comparison in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, and give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. And so, Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4, we read, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and is the dew that goeth away early. Ephraim was a prominent tribe, and it is put for all of northern Israel. And what is meant by the question asked, both of Ephraim and Judah? What shall I do unto thee? The remainder of the verse expresses the character of both. Their goodness is as fickle or unstable as the morning cloud, or as the dew which evaporates under the first rays of the morning sun. Their character is expressed in the following passages. When God would heal or forgive and bless Israel, then their iniquity and wickedness are manifested. They steal, tell falsehoods, and raid and rob others. They drink and commit adultery and scoff at what is right. On the other hand, they come, trembling as a bird, to God for protection. He declares His compassion and love, and He cannot cast them off. Hosea chapter 11, verses 8 through 11 says, How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I cast thee off, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? My heart is turned within me. My compassions are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. And I will not come in wrath. They shall walk after Jehovah, who roar like a lion, for he will roar. And the children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will make them to dwell in their houses, saith Jehovah. By referring to Jeremiah 1:10 through 19 and Jeremiah 5:14, it will be clearly seen how God did this by the prophets and His word. God placed Jeremiah over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow and to build and to plant. Jeremiah was a fortified city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the princes and kings, the people, and the whole land of Judah. How could Jeremiah do this? He could do so only as he declared that which God would do. God did all this with the nations of the earth. God declared through His prophets what should be done to Israel and Judah and all the other nations. This shows that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever He will, and setteth up over it the lowest of men. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. See, my judgments are as the light that goeth forth. God's judgments are His ordinances, His will, and His condemnation of the wicked. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out, Romans 11:33. We read in Psalm 36 and verse 6, His judgments are a great deep. And in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, how God delivered Israel from Egypt with great judgments. So we read, it is as the light that goeth forth. It means it's as swift and clear and bright as light. God's judgments are just and righteous and merciful. And so we read in Hosea chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, Have I not hewed them by the prophets? Have I slain them by the words of my mouth? Thy judgments are as light that goeth forth. For I desire goodness and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Hosea taught Israel goodness, that is kindness and mercy. He desired that they would be that, and hence taught that. For lack of that, God punished them. Although they formerly made their animal sacrifices, Jesus quoted this passage to the Pharisees, who complained that he ate with publicans and sinners in Matthew 9:11-13. And when he and his disciples on the Sabbath, passing through the grain fields, began to pluck and to eat, Matthew 12 and verse 7, like the Pharisees, some hold a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. Sacrifices, such as God has ordained, and for the purpose He has ordained them, must be offered and offered when and as He has ordained, but they must be offered in faith and from the heart and in the spirit of submission to His will, and not just formally or technically, by kindness and mercy and love in every way to others. Christ must be fed, clothed, served in sickness, visited in person, and administered to in all conditions and places. Now let me read to you about hating evil and loving good. Christians, real Christians, not in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth, 1 John 3:18, hate evil. They hate every form of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, and love the good. They love whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report. Because of the virtue and praise in these things, they think on or take them into account. They do not measure these things by their own standards of true and honorable and just and pure and lovely or of good report, but they learn and receive from Paul and see his example in things that God himself calls true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. We have learned in this lesson that some claiming to be Christians have not their senses exercised to discern good and evil, but call evil good and good evil, darkness light and light darkness, bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Hence, God's teaching must be the standard. Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Uprightness was the scepter of His kingdom, Hebrews 1, verses 8 and 9. For this reason God anointed Him with the oil of gladness above His fellows, and above thrones and dominions and principalities and powers, Colossians 1:16, and gave Him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. What are uprightness and righteousness? We know the meaning of these words, and the great need of the church is to be pure and righteous.